great start. Oh, hello. Could turn it down, turn me down slightly, or am I too near that? Is that the problem? Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus. Thank you that he wants to teach us now, and we pray that we would have hearts ready to learn. Amen. Amen. Well, we are going to look at that wonderful chapter. But before we do, have you ever had an accident or been in a really scary situation and someone, maybe a parent or a friend, scoops you up and says, everything is going to be all right? Have you had that experience? Yeah? It can be very comforting, particularly if it's from someone we trust. It's less encouraging if it's from a stranger. But what if you hear these words from Jesus? What if you could hear his voice now, whispering in your ear, it's okay, everything is going to be all right. Well, Steve mentioned we are starting a new series in the book of Revelation. It's the last book in the Bible, so it feels even more extra important for Christians who follow Christ. What is the Lord going to say to us in his final words? And in fact, Revelation means mystery revealed. So surely it will be something important to help us live for Jesus. And it is. And I feel that this chapter that Chris read to us and the whole book is well summed up by that phrase, everything is going to be all right. Because this book, or rather it's a letter, did you know that? This is a letter written a few years after Jesus had died and gone back home to be with his Father. It's written at a time when life for Christians was really hard, really difficult, including John, who is first given this letter to write down. Can anyone remember who John is? Who's John? No? Anyone? Aidan? William? No? John was one of Jesus' disciples, one of his friends, one of his closest friends, actually. But did anyone notice where John is in the Bible reading in verse 9? Where's John? Did anyone notice? You could miss it. So he was in trouble. Brilliant, yeah. People didn't want him to be near Jesus, and they locked him up in prison. There we go. So he's on an island in Patmos. Has he burgled a house? No. Has he poked a policeman in the eye? No. He's just loved the Lord Jesus, as William was saying, and because of Jesus' words. And he writes to the Christians as brothers or sisters. That means they're family members in verse 9. People who share the kingdom, God's kingdom, but also who share in his troubles, his sufferings, which is what the kingdom brings. And so it's very important for us today because many people are suffering today because of Jesus. In Banbury, we have quite an okay life, don't we? We seem quite safe. Some people might tease us, some might avoid us, but that's about it. But like in the days when Revelation was written, in some countries like Nigeria or the Sudan, places like that, you can lose your life for following Jesus. And even in the earliest of days, as William was saying, the disciples were locked up in prison for speaking about Jesus. And by this stage, John is writing that the Romans are also killing Christians, because Christians didn't worship the emperor like they were supposed to, and they were kind of weird and different. So life is really difficult for Christians. But remember, what is this message about to those Christians? Do you remember? Everything is going to be all right. I know some people who are nervous about the book of Revelation, but they don't need to be. As I hope we'll find out in the next few weeks, because this letter is for comforting us. It's really good news. Look at verse 3, if you've got your Bibles. it says, "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart." That's good news for Chris, who read the Bible reading this morning. And it's great news for us as well, isn't it? As we listen to it and as we take it to heart. That's why I prayed at the beginning that we'd take this to heart. It's great news for us who truly believe. And it's great news because of who is really writing this letter. Did you spot that? Who gives the letter to John to write down? He's just the messenger. It says it in verse 1. Can you see who's writing the letter? Jesus. Brilliant, Aidan. Fantastic. This letter of revelation is from Jesus. And that means God knows what's going on. He knows what's going on in your lives, and he wants to give a message of comfort. And that's so exciting for these Christians listening for the first time and for us now. So my first point is that Jesus who loves you knows what's going on. Jesus who loves you knows what's going on. And it's always nice getting letters, isn't it? It's always nice getting a letter. Not those printed ones with bills in them. But handwritten letters from friends or an auntie or an uncle or a cousin. But what about getting a letter from a king? And not just an ordinary king, but the King of Kings. Because that's what we have in front of us. It's a love letter for you from King Jesus. Because in verse 8 it says, Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. Weird words award alert. Alpha and Omega, what's that mean? Well, that's the first letter, the last letter of the Greek alphabet, which is what everyone spoke in those days. So it's the A to Z. Jesus is saying, I am the beginning and the end. I am the Lord of all time. I'm outside time. So he's seeing what's going on with these Christians in the first century, and he sees what's going on with us, and he wants to encourage us. He says, hear what the Holy Spirit says to the churches. Now, he says that in the next couple of chapters. But it means, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Not the church, the churches. This is for all of us. Jesus loves us very much. And we know that because of 5 and 6. Jesus loves us very much because we hear about the cross. Did you notice that? This is where God shows his love for us the most. And it's like John is singing a song to Jesus here. Did you notice? And he invites his readers, you and me, to join in the song. So I have rewritten these words slightly with the help of Annabelle. We put a tune to it, and we're going to sing it now. Are you ready for this? So,
sins, who on the cross shed blood for us, that we with him be kings, the kingdom of priests to serve his Father God. Amen. To him be glory evermore when he returns from heaven. Let's stand and get our rattles and our noises and our feet and our arms moving. Ready? To him who loves us, Jesus, who's freed us from our sins, who on the cross shed blood for us, that we with him be kings, a kingdom and priests to serve his Father God. Amen. To him be glory evermore when he returns from heaven. To him be glory.
Brilliant. I hope you're clapping the Lord there. It's his words. Annabelle's tune. Brilliant, isn't it? And you can just imagine them singing this together. What a wonderful song to sing. We know that Jesus loves us. He died for us. He paid for my sins on the cross. And it makes me want to sing. And verse 5, it also says, he is the firstborn from the dead. And that means he rose again. He's alive. He's ruling today, it says. So that means we're learning that third thing
that he's with us today. He's risen. He's with us. And it's so comforting to be reminded of that. And John gets this amazing vision of Jesus in all his glory. And in verse 13, he sees Jesus amongst seven golden lampstands. Ooh. Seven golden lampstands. What does that mean? Well, the people reading this for the first century would have known it's a picture vision of the tabernacle. Do you remember the tabernacle? God's people wandered in the desert for 40 years, and his tent, his tabernacle, was put in the middle of the camp as a sign that he was with his people. He was always with them. It's a little bit like the Queen when she puts a flag up at Windsor when she's there. And we read in Revelation that we discover these seven golden lampstands as a sign of God's with us. But look, it's a sign and it represents the church today, all God's people. We read that interpretation a little bit later. The lampstands are the churches. And John sees who walking among the churches? You have the answer in front of you. Jesus. Brilliant. Brilliant. Jesus is moving among the churches. And that is brilliant to hear, isn't it? He's walking among the churches today. Right at the beginning of the letter, Christians are learning that God loves them and he's with us. He's with us. And that brings me to my second point. Because you remember, he knows what's going on. The Jesus who loves you is awesome. Because this is good news. Do you remember? But it's good news because of who's writing the letter. Jesus. He knows what's going on in our lives. He loves us and he's with us. But that's not always comforting if we don't understand how amazing Jesus is. Do you get that? If we don't understand how awesome Jesus is, then we won't really trust him. Well, John finds out big time that Jesus is awesome here in our Bible reading. And I might need a volunteer for this bit. Who's feeling brave? You don't have to say anything. Thank you, Patrick. Up you come. You really got to be brave for this, Patrick. So, salute. Good to see you. Look at everyone. Smile. Thank you. So, verse 10. We're told that it's Sunday. He's on his island in Patmos. He's in the Spirit, which means he's probably praying, talking to the Lord, experiencing him very close. And the first thing that happens that John... Don't move. Hears a very loud voice behind him. Not yet. He jumps in the air. And he looks frightened. It's like a trumpet. And he must have jumped a mile. And John turns around. You can turn around now. And he sees the voice that is speaking to him. And it's an awesome vision. It's not me. Awesome vision of the Lord Jesus standing in front of him. Verse 12 to 16. Recently, the young people drew a picture of Goliath. Do you remember that, young people? It was a huge poster, tall as that blue thing there. And we could see how amazing and big Goliath was. But imagine drawing a picture of the way that Jesus is described in this passage. Are you listening? You can turn around again. Verse 12, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. When I turned around, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were blazing fire. Wow! That's a Jesus that you've never perhaps seen before. And it's possible that we normally picture Jesus maybe with a beard, tanned, rough heart, dark hair, maybe wearing an all-in-one brown thing with a thing tied around his waist. And John spent 3 years with Jesus, and he would have seen that sort of Jesus. He would have walked with him, talked with him, eaten with him, chatted to him. He would have seen Jesus get hungry, tired, hot. But now, look at this sight. It's extraordinary. Verse 15, his feet were glowing bronze, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp,
double-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. What a sight! And what does John do in response? What does John do in response to this sight? Brilliant. He didn't even need prompting. Look at that. Stay on the floor. Lie down. Brilliant. He lies down on the floor as though he were dead. But that's natural, isn't it? He's seeing God in all his glory. And on that final day, the Bible says, you and I will see Jesus in the same way. His glory will be uncovered and revealed. He will no longer be that weak, hungry person hanging on a cross. He'll be this awesome figure, shining like the sun and looking like the God that he is. But look in our Bible reading how kingly Jesus deals with John. How does the majestic one deal with John, verse 17? John's at his feet, like he's a dead man. Then what happens? Jesus placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid." Isn't that wonderful? Do not be afraid. How gently and kindly Jesus treats John. He's clearly petrified. Do not be afraid. It's going to be okay. And that is the Jesus of today, isn't it? The awesome one who puts his hand on us and says, do not be afraid. And like John, we need to fall at Jesus' feet, awestruck. And that kind of means we need to give him all of ourselves, worship him completely, undividedly. But remember also that he's that kind servant king who laid down his life for us, who wants to know us and put his hand on us, and the one who tells us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. So let's remember this vision of Jesus, particularly when we pray. He's at God's right hand in all his brilliance, praying for us. Isn't that great? And the Bible says we can ask for things immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. He will give us those things. We can pray big prayers. Hurrah! Hurrah, Ezra. And the Bible teaches us that he can do that. He can do the things that we ask, the big stuff. So those trusting in Jesus, we can do that. When we face difficult times, as the Christians did in the first century face difficult times, they learn again that Jesus is far more awesome than the Romans, far more awesome than any human ruler. He's more powerful than them. And he's on our side. Hurrah, Ezra. He's on our side. He loves us. Thank you so much, Patrick. Little clap for him. Well, finally, my final thing I want to say is, did you notice that this letter that Jesus sends to you is urgent? Urgent. Jesus wants to warn them and us that something important is going to happen. Very important. Verse 1. Did you notice what it was? It says, Jesus Christ gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. And verse 3, it says the time is near. So what? What's near? What's going to happen? And you might have spotted it in verse 7. What's going to happen? What's near? Can you hear the footsteps coming louder and louder? What's coming? What's near? Jesus is coming, yeah. He's coming soon. So that's the third thing. He loves you. He knows all about what's going on. He loves you. He's awesome. And the Jesus who loves you is coming soon. And that's how the book ends, actually. I am coming soon, says Jesus. It's wonderful news. It's big news. More important than any other news that you might hear. More important than the Queen saying, I'm going to pop round to your house for tea next week. It's more important than that. It's like she's in the room, isn't it? More important than that. It's more important than any fire alarm, any warning of a tsunami coming. Because when Jesus comes, we need to be ready. And there'll be a time of great rejoicing, and there'll be a time of sadness, of mourning, we read. Terrible anguish. That anguish and the mourning is because that Jesus is coming as judge. He's coming to put everything right. And only those who've asked Jesus to forgive them will be safe. Only those who've asked Jesus to forgive them will be safe. Will be safe. So it's a kind warning, isn't it? For people to get right with Jesus. And it's a kind warning that we too need, even as Christians. Because we need to watch our hearts. And that's partly what Revelation's about as well. Needing to watch our hearts to be ready for Jesus. To not let the evil one take us away from him. So there's a warning there. But also for Christians, there's great rejoicing. Because finally, Jesus is coming. And he'll make everything right again. In Banbury, it might not be that you're desperate for Jesus to return again. Not right now, anyway. Because you've got things to do, haven't you? You've got plans. You want to go mudslinging next week. You want to go paintballing with your friends. Well, I'm sure the Christians in the first century who are really suffering, and those suffering today in Nigeria or wherever, really need to hear that Jesus is coming. And soon. The people trying to hurt them will be no more. Everything will be okay. But maybe we are pleased that Jesus is coming. Maybe we do understand. Because what Jesus will do when he comes will be utterly extraordinary. It will be beautiful. It will be out of this world. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what the Lord has in mind for us. His time of coming will be soon. And it's sooner for us than it was for the early Christians. So it's a letter for us to get ready for the future. And it helps us to live in the present today. Jesus who loves you knows all about what's going on in your life. Jesus who loves you is awesome. Hurrah, Ezra. And the King Jesus who loves you is coming soon. Praise the Lord. Everything is going to be all right. So let's pray. And Ian's going to come and lead us in a time of prayer. Oh, not quite yet. Well, let's pray. I'll pray then. Loving Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful letter, this encouraging letter. And we pray that we'd take it to heart and rejoice that you're coming soon. Amen.